welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with me today as we chronicle the decline of Western civilization, the decline of a republic, the decline of the most successful, the most prosperous economy the world has ever known. That is the economy of the United States. We're chronicling a decline. Now, we're not depressed. Please understand, we're not depressed because we're not materialists. Because we're not empire builders. Because we believe in the kingdom of God. We believe that the kingdom of God is different metrics. It has different standards. It has different things that we get a kick out of than what you read on the cover of the Wall Street Journal. But according to the Wall Street Journal, yesterday, wages in America fell 7% in the past decade. That's adjusted for inflation, of course. So, friends, our standard of living is falling. No question about it. Oh, by the way, the wages and benefits of people employed by the government keep rising. And now it's about twice what the average worker in America earns in similar type of jobs. Government workers used to be called servants of the people. Now they're turning into the masters, not unusual, with the average federal worker now in Washington, D.C. receiving over $126,000 a year. Friends, that's $126,000 a year for the average federal worker in Washington, D.C., and the national median, something like $50,000. So these federal employees making twice what the average ordinary slob is making, and we've been losing our standard of living for the last 10 or 12 years, the average median income down 7% over the last 10 years. Friends, as we look at what's going on around us, we've got a really critical story here at the Christian Science Monitor. Came out just a day or two ago, a very important article. A long, steep drop for America's standard of living, says the article. It's over, friends. The glory days of America is over. The Piper has invoiced the highest debtor nation in the world cannot go along like this forever and ever. It's over. It's over. You understand? It's over. I know that you lived through glory days from the 1950s. As we came out of the World War, we had a very prosperous nation. We actually had a very, very healthy birth rate, thanks to the baby boomers. We had an economy that was upbeat. We generally, upbeat people have lots of kids. And we had a great view for the future. We were optimistic. We had a fairly decent worldview. We had some Christian remnants of character in the nation. We didn't really develop our technology as well as we could have early on. So we continued to develop technology through the computer revolution, through automation, and other things that enabled us to become extremely, extremely efficient in creating our agricultural products and our technological products. So that's what happened in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. But we became the greatest debtor nation on earth. We undermined the character of the nation. Now 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age. 42% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. No, we can't go on like this anymore. We have 80 million retiring baby boomers. Social Security has gone into the red for the first time in 2011, and these baby boomers will be retiring for the next 19 years, and we will have to deal with our birth implosions. We'll have to deal with the fact that our young men aren't getting married, and they're not getting responsible. They're not in the workforce. 20% of working men are out of jobs, up from 5% in 1950, according to a recent article in CNN by Bill Bennett. We're in trouble, friends. It's over. Do you understand? It's over. The standard of living you've enjoyed through the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, Gen Xers, millennials, listen to me. If you're a Gen Xer, if you're a millennial, listen to me. It's over. It's over. It's done. The economic good times, based upon the huge American corporate fascist system that came over the last 30 to 40 years, and all of the quote-unquote blessings that came with that, it's over. Now, until we get back to better ways to educate, better ways to mentor our young men, better ways to get debt-free and run our household economies, until that happens, we're not going to see good times ahead. We're not going to see good times ahead, at least if you're speaking in terms of materialist categories. So the article basically says, not since at least 1960 has the U.S. standard of living fallen so fast for so long. The average American has $1,315 less in annual disposable income now than at the onset of the Great Recession. Per capita disposable personal income, a key indicator of the standard of living, peaked in the spring of 2008 at $33,794. Now it's down to 32,479. That's a 4% drop. The so-called misery index, another measure of economic well-being for American households, echoes the finding on the slipping standard of living. The index, a combination of the unemployment rate and inflation, is now at its highest point since 1983, when the U.S. economy was recovering from a short recession from the energy price spikes from the Iranian Revolution. Maybe it's the evolution of the economy. But it appears large segments of the workforce have moved permanently into lower-paying positions, says Joel Neroff of Neroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. The economy can't grow at 4% per year when the middle class becomes the lower middle class. He would get no argument from Jeff Beatty of Richmond, Kentucky, who worked in the IT and telecommunications business for most of his career until he hit a rough patch as he and his wife are living off unemployment insurance benefits, his early Social Security payments and her disability payments from the Social Security Administration, that is, they're living off the government welfare programs. Our standard of living has probably declined threefold, he said. Even recently, some Americans could tap the equity in their homes or their stock market accounts to make up for any shortfalls in income. Not anymore. Since 2007, Americans' collective net worth has fallen about $5.5 trillion, or about 8.6%, according to the Federal Reserve. The bulk of that decline is in real estate, which has lost $4.7 trillion in value, or 22% since 2007. In Arizona, for example, more than half of homeowners live in houses that are underwater, worth less than their purchase prices. Stock investments aren't any better. Since 1999, the Standard & Poor's Index on a price basis is off 17%. Off 17%. That is, you have lost 17% of your equity since 1999. That's 12 years. Over 12 years, you've lost 17%. On your value, on your stock value since 1999, that's on Standard & Poor Index. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these are bad times. We're not out of this big recession. Things are as bad or worse than they've ever been. And Dave, you know that inflation is up. You know we're paying way more for groceries. We're making less money. I'd say the average person is making less money. The people in our church are making less money. I know they are. They're making less money than they were 3-4 years ago. Now, many of them, their pay has been frozen for the last 4 to 5 years. But at the same time, the price of bread, the price of meat, you can't get ground beef for less than about $2.49 a pound. I can remember when we were getting it for $1 a pound, $1.29 a pound, $1.39 a pound. That was just about 2 years ago. Now it's double. I can't get it on sale for less than $2.49 a pound at Safeway. I mean, we're talking about groceries twice as much as they were, say, 2-3 years ago. I mean, these prices are increasing. Gas is got to be up at least double since about 3-4 years ago.
You know, you can look at the window and you can say this commodity has risen this much or this commodity has risen that much. But the average family knows that their grocery dollar goes not nearly as far as it used to be. We have smaller packages.
Yeah. Yeah. Ice cream.
The packages are smaller.
You get a quart and a half on ice cream.
And
remember,
they cost
when you get two quarts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they cost more. Things like gasoline, like you said, which is a basic commodity for transportation. When you live out here in the West, we're long ways from anything. Kevin, I am 20-minute drive from anywhere.
Yeah, from me.
From the nearest gas pump.
30 minutes from me.
From the nearest gas pump, let me put it that way. So when they talk about, you know, raising gas prices in Washington, they're really affecting the Buhner budget significantly. Because that's a significant portion of our budget. Now, we chose to do it that way based on certain ideas that things would be more stable than they are. And this is the problem. People bought homes. And the conventional wisdom was buy as much home as you could afford. Because it would inflate and become the best investment you had.
Yeah.
Well, since 2007, residential real estate is down 22.5%.
Yeah, it's a lot. You've lost.
If you put in $1 million, you've lost over $200,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, most people can't afford
that. You lost 17% in your stock market. You lost 22% in real estate. That's pretty bad for the last 12 years. That's 12 years, friends. That's over 12 years. That's half of some people's lives. You're a 24-year-old guy. Over the last 12 years of your life, half of your life, you've seen nothing but decline in the economy. Nothing but decline in the economy the last 12 years. Haven't made any progress in 12 years in the American economy, at least if you're talking about real estate and manufacturing or business.
Not only haven't you made progress, you've lost.
Yeah.
You've lost.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a worse position now than when you started.
Which is why a lot of people are buying gold, but then, you know, that's just a commodity.
It's a commodity that's also manipulated by the market.
Right.
It's also manipulated by the same people who manipulate inflation, the same people who manipulate currency exchanges, et cetera.
And the end result of it all is what? The average family is living on less than they were, and they have a lower standard of living. And guys, get used to this. This will happen I think for the next until we get out of this debt crisis. Now, thankfully, the last 4 years, the president of the United States has worked us out of the debt crisis to some extent. I mean, he's dug us way more into debt. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, the last 12 years. The last 12 years where we had an opportunity perhaps to get out of debt, we actually spent our way into more debt in order to get out of our recessionary troubles, but it turns out that didn't help us any. It didn't help employment. Well, we got the new unemployment bill, the jobs bill. Maybe that'll help. He's going to throw $600 billion at jobs. Maybe that'll help.
Steve Jobs? I thought he just passed away.
Well, okay. Well, maybe it's the funeral costs.
You know, the thing is, the government doesn't create jobs.
Yeah.
The government really only consumes wealth.
I know, Dave.
It doesn't produce
wealth.
And
so what's happened the last 12 years? They've only made things worse. friends. Over the last 12 years, they've only made things worse. They've only put off the inevitable, and the inevitable is even going to be worse, which means, friends, we're looking at a lower standard of living for our children and our grandchildren. Better prepare them for that. Better don't raise them in some kind of a spoiled household where they're not part of the household economy. You better mentor your young men and your young women in your homes. You better disciple them in the book of Proverbs. You better teach them the principles, the economic principles in the book of Proverbs, which, by the way, is about a third of the book, is about economies, about planting fields, about diligence, about investments, about debt, et cetera, et cetera. Be sure you give your children the book of Proverbs inside and out. That's why I've spent the last 2.5 years preparing a study guide through the book of Proverbs for hundreds of thousands of parents across America who want to salvage their families and build decent wisdom and decent character into the lives of their children, because they're going to need it in the year 2040, friends. They're going to need it. Give your children the book of Proverbs inside and out. Build your family economies. And that, of course, is why we have our Family Economics Conference coming up on March 8th through 10th of 2012. Friends, these are very practical things we're doing as a ministry. You may think we're a bunch of pie-in-the-sky philosophers. We talk about political philosophies and theology and stuff on this program. We're not just that. We have great solutions. We have practical solutions. Really, really neat practical solutions that you can use for your families.
And that's why, Kevin, we're not just talking about how to survive the coming fall.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about
thriving.
We're talking about rebuilding.
And thriving, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So the empire is dead.
Yeah.
Long live the king.
Right.
And that should be our motto.
The empire is dead. Long live the king.
Yeah, King Jesus.
King Jesus, that's what we're talking about. Exactly.
You know, instead of building the great society based on LBJ, let's build a righteous society based on Moses, based on Proverbs of Solomon.
Godly families.
You know, what we can do is we're going to train our children to take this moment of history, and this is a historic opportunity to have an influence on how societies, particularly Christian societies, are going to structure life. Life in the family, life in the church, life in trade and economics, which is just an extension of family. We're going to build on the foundation of Christ and His Word.
Listen, folks, don't stick your head in the sand. Face reality. It's over. The glory days of American wonderful economy is over, and one reason it's over is because God is pulling His favor away from this nation, I believe. We have abandoned the faith. We're abandoning His principles of family life. We've abandoned the idea of working faith and character into our children by really solid discipleship on the part of parents.
It's hard to do that when you kill them.
Oh, that's true. We've killed, at least a third, maybe close to a half of our posterity since 1960, thanks to the birth control pill, etc. But, friends, we can rebuild, I believe, our societies, our families, our churches on the principles of God's Word. And we're going to start by building and reintegrating good, solid, strong families through their Family Economics Conferences. So please face the reality of the situation. Understand there are solutions. There's a better way of looking at life, a better way of looking at family economies. And we're bringing these things out from a biblical perspective at our conference on March 8th through 10th at Wheaton College, Illinois. For more information, just FamilyEconomics2012.com. That's FamilyEconomics2012.com. On the web. And remember, we have an early bird rate that closes this Saturday. So sign up by this Saturday and you'll save substantially on the registration cost for that conference. Again, it's FamilyEconomics2012.com. How does a young man prepare for his own household economy? How will our families survive the economic recessions in the years to come? How do we live debt-free in the biggest debtor nation in the world? And where does college fit into the picture for our family? Should I send my daughter to college? Will our sons be ready for home and career by 35 years of age? Will our daughters work for the large corporations, delegate their two-year-old children to daycare, and raise 1.2 children per family? Will our children's families be more fragmented than our families in this generation? Or is it time to reintegrate the family using a biblical economic model? The 2012 Family Economics Conference will answer these questions and more. Folks, Generations is sponsoring our biggest conference yet at Wheaton College in Chicago, Illinois, on March 8 to 10, 2012. You'll pick up on hundreds of practical ideas at this conference, from keynote sessions, workshops, panels, and vendor resources. If you resonate to this vision, folks, you need to register for the conference now. Save $80 if you register by this Saturday. Go online now to FamilyEconomics2012.com. That's FamilyEconomics2012.com. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. Great story from Christian Science Monitor today. And, hey, it's over. The glory days of the Republic is over. We can't spend ourselves into debt over and over again, decade after decade, generation after generation, and assume that everything's going to be just fine. We can't live like narcissistic existentialists, all about me materialists, and somehow expect everything to turn out right. You can't have a birth-imploding, character-destroying country and spend yourself into trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of debt and saddle your grandkids with all of this debt, and everything's going to turn out hunky-dory by the year 2035. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. So what's the solution? Well, the first solution is to not be a materialist. Not be a materialist. Dave, my guess is the reason why some people might want to come to a family economics conference is so they will be rich and materialistically blessed. Well, I'm sorry, friends, that's not a good reason to come. A good reason to come is to seek the kingdom of God, develop good godly relationships in your family, have an opportunity to disciple your young sons and young daughters, and build family relationships, and build God's kingdom, and do the things that God wants us to do, and then enjoy some blessings. Because oftentimes, God does enjoy give us some blessings, some material blessings, because we are walking in His ways. We're doing things the way He wants us to do it. We're building godly families. We're discipling our children. That's the kind of thing God likes. You'll read about it in Deuteronomy 6:7.
Read about it in Psalm 112 here, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
I love that
passage,
yeah.
Who delights greatly in His commandments.
Sure.
So you fear God, you keep His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. That's going to mean He's going to have children. Yeah. Generation of the upright will be blessed. And then verse 3 of Psalm 112, wealth and riches will be in His house.
Amen.
And His righteousness
Amen.
Endures forever.
Amen.
So,
but it starts with Him fearing God and delighting greatly in His commandments.
Amen.
Amen.
That's okay, Economics 101.
Yeah,
fear
it is.
God, keep His commandments.
Psalm 112, you got it. Economics 101. I like it.
Fear God,
Wonderful.
Keep His commandments.
You're sounding like R.C. Sproul. And by the way, R.C. is speaking at our conference. The last time he spoke at our economics conference in North Carolina, Dave, I mean, he hit it out of the park. I mean, I have had so many good comments about R.C.'s presentations. I mean, R.C. can really give the philosophy of a family economy. And by the way, we got way more speakers this time. We've got Doug Phillips coming. We've got Eric Weir, who's going to be there, great family economist guy who's got his own family economy. And God has blessed him greatly. I mean, you know, greatly. I mean, he's one of the most well-known entrepreneurs in South Carolina. We've also got the thrifty couple from Utah coming out. And we haven't heard from them before. They're excellent.
They're hitchhiking,
folks.
Right?
So they're coming out for the conference. There's so many great names coming out for the conference. Friends, we're talking about probably close to 100 presenters, including the panelists, because we got a lot of family panelists coming in for this conference. The Family Economics Conference is going to start by saying, hey, it's not about materialism. And that's the problem. That's why people become these existentialistic, me-centered, debt-oriented materialists that eventually burn out their economies. And they burn out their agricultural fields. And they burn out all their debt-based governments, their debt-based corporations. And they ruin an entire economy over a period of time because they don't want to leave anything for their children and their grandchildren. Who needs to leave anything for your children and grandchildren when you can spend it all today on yourself? Okay, Dave, that's the wrong worldview. The right worldview is to worship the true and living God, as you just said, Psalm 112. That's the passage. The right worldview is to be content with food and clothing. Therewith be content, as Paul says.
Yes, and give God thanks for it.
Yeah.
Look, I want to take to Proverbs 13 for a moment. Proverbs 13 has two very important verses in it about economies and about wealth. It says in verse 11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. In other words, if you inflate your currency, if you manipulate currencies, the wealth's not going to last. And he who gathers by labor will increase. And it doesn't mean labor unions there. It means that God intended us to work for our wages. He didn't intend us to have passive income. So all these models out there that say get rich without working, that's dishonest wages, and they're going to be diminished. But what's very interesting is 11 verses later, there is so much hope that God gives in his word. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Mm.
Okay, now, I mean, we don't spend it on our boasts and stuff, but this is, catch this, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous.
Yeah.
You realize that all that wealth that's out there on Wall Street that people are complaining about, and all that wealth in the city will be for the righteous?
Yeah. People have a hard time believing that sort of thing, but I have illustrations in my study guides where this happens, friends. This happens. Sometimes over 200, 300 years. You got to be patient for some of these proverbs to work their way out. And, of course, most people in our present system say the proverbs say is they're stupid. I mean, hey, I haven't seen that happen in the last year or two because they don't have a long-term perspective on these things. But the proverbs really are lived out in the history of mankind. And I've got literally hundreds of applications and illustrations concerning that in my study guide series. It's called the Proverbs Bible Study Guide Series, available at kevinswanson.com, by the way. But, David, as you say, these principles are really the very basis for biblical economies. And we need to work this into our children. I think diligence is a very important principle. And the idea of not getting rich quick. I mean, I think 4 to 5 times in the Proverbs, I have many illustrations of people who tried to get rich quick and then they wound up in abject poverty and died miserable men.
Right.
I mean,
if God wants to make you rich quick, that's fine. That's up to God. You know, you desire to be rich. It's not necessarily a bad thing if it's to build God's kingdom.
Yeah.
If you view that wealth as a commodity to build God's kingdom.
But be careful you not to have the intention to get rich quick. That's the Proverbs are very strong on that. However, you need to have the idea that you're going to work hard. You need to learn the principles of industriousness and diligence. And there's probably 20 to 30 important lessons on diligence and on the sluggard and on sloth in the book of Proverbs that have to be inculcated into our children. Now, granted, Dave, as our children work hard, it's amazing how God eventually does bless them. Now, typically, he blesses people who puts himself first. Now, sometimes he does bless the ungodly, but he does so in order to build them up for a pretty horrible-looking fall.
Or he
so
to build
kind of,
cities
kind of thing does happen.
That God's people didn't build that they will take over.
Yeah, well, that happens too, and that's sort of like the Proverbs in 13 that you mentioned just earlier. Well, folks, the principles that God has given us in his word concerning materials are sufficient to build our household economies. And I want to encourage you to get a copy of our Proverbs Study Guide series available at kevinswanson.com. Also, before we end the program, I want to get back to the Family Economics Conference. The deadline is coming up right up for the early registration, and I would encourage you to register right now for that. This is a critical time if you want to save some dollars for your family. And we have cut the price as much as we possibly can for a rather wonderful facility, Wheaton College out in Chicago, Illinois. And we're going to try to get 2,200, if not 2,500 people in those auditoriums. And we know that some of your families may have 6, 7, 8 children. We want to accommodate all those children for one price. And right now, we've got a really cut rate for that pre-registration price. And all of this available at FamilyEconomics2012.com. Encourage you to check it out. If you're going to develop a vision for your own family, for your children, for their families, and for their family economies in the years to come, it'd be important to get them down to that conference and begin to rebuild a new concept for family economies and hopefully have something solid, something good, something wonderful, something to celebrate in the year 2030, even as we go through some of the difficult recessions and depressions that are here to come. Dave, we're not talking mere entrepreneurship in this conference. It's not just about being an entrepreneur. Dad may have a job. He may be contracting work from the larger corporations. By the way, I'm reading that there's way, way more contracting available than jobs today. These large corporations don't want to hire people, but they're willing to contract out. And that feeds right into our family economic systems because we believe that the more contracting you get, the more mentorship that enables and the more networking you do and the more additional contracting can result from that, and we begin to see our family economic systems rolling and growing and growing and growing in this wonderful positive cycle called networking, contracting, mentoring, networking, contracting, mentoring. And these are the sorts of things we're going to bring out at the conference. We're also saying, hey, if Dad has a job, Just multitask. Make sure you have the family developing a diversification of skills and abilities and income streams. If you don't develop the various income streams, Dave, I think a lot of families are going to be stuck in some of these recessionary job losses. They're going to be in deep trouble. But if you have five or six incomes streams happening in a family and dad loses a major income stream, Dave, it's not the end of the world. I mean, you do have a diversification. You've cast your bread on many waters. You've cast your resources on many waters. And the diversification, I think, is the key in building the family economy from the get-go. And we find many, many economies doing this sort of thing. And families are actually prospering in some of these recessionary times because of what they're doing, the way they're thinking in terms of the family economy.
Kevin, what we're just talking about is thinking biblically about a situation. There were the servants who worked in both in the Old and New Testament. Their servanthood has to be viewed like their business. They have to do it unto the glory of God. But they would be well instructed to not put all their eggs in one basket, that is, under one employer in which they serve. They could serve many masters. They'd have many streams of income. We talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. And the Proverbs 31 woman is interesting because a lot of people think this is just about dad getting a job. Well, dad does have to provide, but he doesn't have to be the sole provider. And that's why it's a oikonomia. It is the oiko, family, the household that works here. In Proverbs 31, we have a woman who flips real estate. And she does it, and her husband trusts in her. She's good at it. You know, she buys a field, she considers it, she buys it, and then she sells it. See, this is a diversified income. He may be serving the king or the kingdom. He may be doing something else. She's doing something else, but it's all part of the same vision of the family. The same is true for children. David's out watching his father's sheep. What is David's father doing? If David's out watching his sheep, what is David's father doing? Something else economically
better. Other things, right. Sure.
He may be doing the accounting. He may be buying goats. He may be raising horses. He may be writing a bestseller.
Designing the next Boeing 797.
The point is, Kevin, that if we look to the scriptures, we will find sufficient guidance for even the troubled times, which are not so troubled as they are a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
The empire is dead. Long live the king.
And that's the point. Is granted, friends, it's over as far as that other system is concerned. It's over in terms of the American prosperity that came by means of the large corporations, the big government-driven systems, the government-driven school system, the institutions that broke down the character of the nation and made us the greatest debtor nation on earth. That system is over, and our standard of living is falling. And the gods of the people that they've worshipped over all this time are going to disappoint the people. And they're going to be crushed. Their hopes and their dreams are going to be crushed. But not us. Because we're building a different socioeconomic system based upon biblical principles, and we're summarizing these things at the Family Economics Conference coming up here at Wheaton College in Chicago, Illinois, March 8th through 10th of 2012. And again, I want to encourage you to check out the website on this. We've got a great website, a great summary of the conference. You're going to get a good feel for what we're going to do for those 3 days, critical days in building and reestablishing the family economy, which, by the way, is no new idea. It's been around for 5,900 years until the modern socioeconomic system was put into place, which is coming to an end here in the next couple decades. But prepare for the future. Prepare for the future now. Don't hide your head in the sand. Face the future. Understand what's going on. Get back to the Bible. And if you want your family to survive, if you want your children to survive, if you want to build a decent socioeconomic system, if you want a social system surviving with your grandkids, that's going to make it, you're going to have to rebuild a system based upon these biblical principles found in God's Word. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for more information on the conference, again, it's FamilyEconomics2012.com. If you would like our Proverbs study guide, which you can teach in your home day by day to your children in family worship, it's available at KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.